buddy Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Bob Dio. Bob is our engineer producer. He's our new engineer producer of the Buckmaster Show, and we're a month in to the new format here, local talk 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. with our new owners, Bustos Media. It's going along well. We've got construction going on with our new studios, so everybody's very happy about that. It's Friday, November 30th, 2018. Hope you had a great week. We are live during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk. Our media partners are TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan Smith is with me in studio. He's the editor, publisher, and founder of TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan, thank you for your support.
Absolutely. Happy to be here.
Green Valley News, Saharita Sun supporting us. Tucson Media Group, thank you to them and their portfolio of Tucson media publications, which include Inside Tucson Business and the Tucson Weekly. Our Friday Focus interview today, Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry. Mr. Huckleberry, how are you?
Just fine, Bill. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's good to have you with us in studio. So whether the reason was lack of trust in Pima County or worry about an additional tax liability or a combination of both, maybe there's even more reasons, Pima County voters did make their voices heard loud and clear on Election Day in rejecting a road repair program that would have meant hundreds of millions of dollars toward improving the condition of roads in the county. So in light of all of this, Mr. Huckleberry, what's next?
Well, what's next is basically to continue to work to try and fix and repair the roads in the unincorporated area of Pima County. We're going to probably be doing a little bit of alternative analysis to see what we can bring back to the board for their consideration when we adopt next year's budget. The long-term answer is really to go back to the RTA and ask the RTA to increase the half-cent sales tax for transportation and to dedicate a significant portion of that to road repair in both the city of Tucson as well as Pima County's unincorporated area.
Do you think trust, as Allie Miller has said, was a big issue in this, that people don't trust Pima County? But if it is all trust, why did they trust Pima County to pass and approve one of the finest state-of-the-art animal control centers in the United States, which, by the way, will be formally dedicated at noon on Sunday?
On Sunday, correct. I don't think it was a trust issue at all. I mean, I think Allie Miller has basically used the last 6 years of her term to try and cast doubt on the county. Mostly in issues that are just basically false or can be proven to be incorrect. I think the primary message here is people don't want to repair their roads with property taxes because that's what bonds are.
Dylan Smith.
I want to dig into that a little bit. This morning on TucsonSentinel.com, we published a commentary from you that I think that the essence of it is your contention is that it would not be fair to taxpayers inside the city of Tucson and town of Oro Valley, Marana, to pay for road repair directly from the general fund because that's mainly property taxes. What I don't get about that is bonds have to be repaid at some point, and isn't a large chunk of that backstopped with property taxes? Whether you pay for them right now with property tax money, or you pay for them years down the road with property tax money, aren't I, as a person who lives inside the city limits of Tucson, still going to end up footing some of that bill?
Well, under the theory of bonds, you would have paid portion of that bill, but you would also gotten back proportionately the same benefit. In other words, in that bond issue, the proceeds were being actually divided among the jurisdictions based on the assessed value of each jurisdiction. So it would have been equitable, meaning that you would have been taxed for something, but you would have gotten a benefit. Under the theory to use the county's general fund, really what people are talking about, or what's being, not talked about enough, is the fact that we'd raise the property tax on everybody in the county, but we'd only use the proceeds of that tax to fix roads in the unincorporated area. That is fundamentally unfair to two-thirds of the taxpayers in Pima County.
Is that necessarily the case, though? Could there not be a plan whereby you would use directly general fund money to fix roads all over the county, whether they were inside a city or town or directly, you know, Pima County's responsibility in an unincorporated area? Couldn't you make that fair?
You could do that, and we actually made that fair. If you remember, in the prior fiscal year, we had a 25-cent property tax for road repair, and that 25-cent property tax really brought in about $20 million, and it was basically then redistributed back to each jurisdiction, again, in proportion to their contributions. So that was fair. But what is being talked about now is to really talk about raising the property tax or cutting the general fund budget and using those proceeds to fix roads in the unincorporated area, and that is not fair.
Dylan, I'm going to intersperse throughout our time with Mr. Huckleberry some of the questions that have been coming in on your Facebook page. You asked your friends for questions for Mr. Huckleberry, as did Tim Steller. And Robin asks, how many millions of dollars of highway user transportation funds from the state have been diverted in Pima County for other purposes, Mr. Huckleberry?
Well, the answer to that is none. And every dollar of the Highway User Revenue Fund and every dollar of the vehicle license tax that's designated for transportation is used on the transportation system in the unincorporated area of the county, and that's allocated to the county. And every city and town gets an allocation of HERF and a VLT, and they use that for transportation. So the answer is absolutely nothing has been diverted to any other use.
Dylan, I've got a quick point to clear up, not so much a question for you, but we got a couple of questions on the TucsonSentinel.com Facebook page about the new sort of a surtax on vehicle registration, that $32 that's going to start being tacked on to everybody's car registration. None of that's going to the county for transportation. That's my understanding, right?
That's correct. Well, that $32 has been assessed by the legislature, signed into law by the governor, that basically pays for the Department of Public Safety that is now being paid for out of the Highway User Revenue Fund. So ultimately, some of that money will filter down to cities and towns and counties for highway purposes. And really, that $32 is to pay for the Department of Public Safety.
So that's going to fund state troopers and new vehicles for them and that sort of thing.
That's correct.
Mark asks on our Facebook, not my Facebook page, this one came through on Tim Steller's page. Still, it's a question for Mr. Huckleberry. Why not make peace with the public and use the HERF funds for road repair only for a period of time?
Well, all the HERF funds are used to maintain and operate and build the transportation system in the unincorporated area of Pima County, and that includes road repair. We've said previously, as the debt is paid back on HERF bonds, highway user revenue bonds, we'll use that difference to actually make road repairs, and scheduled in next year's budget is an additional almost $5 million for road repair. So we are using HERF revenues for road repair, and we're using HERF revenues to, again, keep the traffic signals on, stripe the roads, put the signs in, repair the potholes, and do all the things necessary to operate a transportation system.
David has called us at 790-2040, so we're also going to be able, very interactive here. We've got our Facebook questions, and, of course, you can call us and speak with Mr. Huckleberry directly. Go ahead, David.
I want to explain the reason why I voted no on the road bonds. Is number one, I'm not a fan of Chris DeMone, keeps attacking the county. But the reason is, the big problem is Marana's growth, or rezoning and rezoning all over the place where our desert could be scraped and turned into all this cookie cutter development. And as a result, the county has spent massive amount of money on roads like Twin Peaks Interchange, Twin Peaks Extension, widening Tangerine Road to Foley Parkway, and they're going to widen I-10 to 8 lanes all the way out to Marana. That's a $1 billion project. Then they spent more than $500 million expanding the Iron Road treatment plant to serve all the cookie cutter development Marana is rezoned for in the Tortolito foothills.
Okay, David, what is your question specifically?
Well, I have a comment. That's the reason why I voted no, because that's where the money's going.
Okay. All right. Mr. Huckleberry, would you like to address that?
Well, I think the problem is that this community is growing and has grown for the last 30 years, and you need to accommodate that. And frankly, that's why the community approved $350 million in highway user revenue bonds is to widen 55 arterial roads within the county. And, you know, that's kind of what we're, you know, the alternative is doing nothing, and you're still going to have the growth and basically congestion and problems associated with that.
It's still stuff that's paid for with our taxes, but wasn't the Twin Peaks project an RTA project?
Twin Peaks was an RTA and Marana project, and so it's still part of the half cent.
And the interstate would be the State Department of Transportation?
State would be actually, they were a contributor to that project as well.
And sure. So none of that is directly coming out of Pima County's budget and interfering with your obligation, your responsibility to try and maintain county roads.
That's correct.
All right.
Even though, of course, we're all still paying the bill for it.
Before I tell everyone about our fine sponsor, Mona's Danish Bakery, another quick question for Mr. Huckleberry. This comes from Michelle. What is your projected schedule for retirement?
Well, my projected schedule is basically I have a contract until January of 2021, and I intend to fulfill that contract. However, the board, I am an at-will employee, and so it takes three members of the board to decide that my services are no longer needed. But I've been an at-will employee for the last 25 years as a county administrator, and again, it's up to the board to determine if and when they want to replace me, or my contract runs out.
But Dylan,
do you have any interest in serving beyond that contract? Do you want to keep doing this for a good while longer?
What I've always said is, the end of every contract, it's up to the board and myself to determine whether or not I want to continue, and whether they want me to continue is another question.
Many Facebook friends, at more than two at least, have said he's an elected official.
A lot of people seem to operate under the misconception that the county administrator is voted on. I don't know how much they're checking out their own ballots and whether they think they've ever voted for or against Chuck Huckleberry as a candidate for that office, because that's not an elected office.
True. I you know, I often say, well, I'm elected, except the electorate, in my case, there's only five voting members.
Mm-hmm. And you know how to count to three, as I often say when discussing these things.
County jobs or county positions and county administrators, a little easier than a city manager, because I count to three and the city manager has to count to four.
All right. Mona's Danish Bakery, one of our fine sponsors, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, home of the Danish Kringle. I love Mona's. You can go by there right now for lunch. The bread that came out of the oven only a few hours ago will be served for your lunch on your sandwich. So there goes Bob Dio, our engineer producer. He's hungry.
He's running out the door.
He's going out the door to Mona's. And, of course, Christmas is coming. How about a Danish Kringle on Christmas morning or Christmas Eve? It'd be terrific. Check it out. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is their website. You can also go to my website, BuckmasterShow.com. There's a link there to Mona's Danish Bakery and all of our great sponsors. We'll be right back with Chuck Huckleberry. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our Friday Focus interview is with Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry, who answered a question Dylan Smith right before the break about his future. And your contract is up in what,
2021.
There you go. Question coming in on Facebook. Had a ton of questions. Thanks to you, Dylan, asking your friends and also Tim Steller, the star, on his page. What about the gravel pit at Ina and Orange Grove? What will become of that? Someone said maybe you ought to make it into a lake.
It's a historic gravel pit that basically, you know, county purchased the property from California, Portland years ago, probably 5 or 6 years ago now, and the pit is starting to be filled in now, if you can look at it, with the construction debris, which is concrete and asphalt and dirt. And it'll essentially be reclaimed and recovered and revegetated and become part of a regional park.
All right, Dylan, go ahead.
I want to get back briefly to the failure of the bond and this election, and Supervisor Allie Miller, does she have maybe a little bit better handle on public sentiment these days, considering this bond did go down 2-1 countywide? Does she have a little bit more insight into what voters are looking at than the rest of the folks on the board and you who are pushing pretty hard to get this bond through?
Well, I think you got to remember what we said is it's an alternative, and another alternative the public could exercise to actually repair the roads, and so they've decided not to, and so we'll look at other alternatives. I think part of the difficulty is that in many cases we're actually prohibited from countering sometimes bad information or misinformation. Because if we counter it, it appears that we're trying to influence the outcome of an election, which is illegal. In the case of a supervisor, they can say pretty much anything they want, and we're prohibited from answering or countering that unless asked. typically by media or other people who want to know factually what the case is. And that didn't happen, and it hasn't happened in the past, and so therefore people are left with questions that are unanswered, and that creates doubt, and that's unfortunate. I think what we're taking from this election is obviously the fact that I think people still want the roads repaired, and in the case of this particular proposal, it was all property tax related, and that means they frankly don't want them repaired with property taxes, and that means the county general fund as well.
It seems like a whole lot of the people who were adamantly opposed to this bond issue are among the loudest voices yelling that our roads need to be fixed.
It would appear that, you know, my face appeared on a lot of posters during this campaign, where I was claimed to have promised payment but delivered only pork. Well, that's patently untrue and very unfair, but I was prohibited from actually countering it or proposing, you know, talking
because
about
you're not an elected official.
I'm not an elected official, and I can't basically say anything to counter that, or else I'd be accused of influencing the outcome of an election.
Real quick, there's some people who are saying that in the past bond package that was approved, there's still some money that hasn't been issued in there. There's some bonds that are still available to the county. Is that the case? And when are you going to use that if it's out there, and what's it going to be spent on?
Well, Supervisor Miller made a motion at the last board meeting to actually reallocate $62 million of highway user revenue approved bonds in 1997 for road repair. And by doing so, she was doing exactly what she accuses, I think, the other members of the board of doing, and that's basically ignoring the wishes of the voters, because voters in 1997 voted specifically to approve those projects. $50 million of those remaining bonds are City of Tucson projects. And, you know, basically we'd be telling the City of Tucson, forget what the voters said, forget what we've said, we're going to use that money to fix roads in the unincorporated area. Again, contrary, it's defying what the voters wanted us to do, and it's completely contrary to the bond ordinance, the Truth in Bonding Code, all the things that we do to create confidence in the public that we're going to do what we say we're going to do.
All right. 1997 was a long time ago. Sorry to keep harping on this one, but that was a long time ago. Why is this $50 or $60 million not spent and done yet?
Well, $20 million of it, it's for the widening of Broadway, which is an RTA project. $10 million is for the widening of 22nd Street, which is an RTA project. And another $20 million is for the widening of Houghton. About $8 million of the Houghton has already been spent. The new bridge that I think people just start driving on over Houghton, over the railroad, that's part of those bonds.
All right, Joe Ferguson now joins us. Joe, a political writer for the Arizona Daily Star. He is with Bob Dio on the other side of the glass in the control room. Go ahead, Joe.
Chuck, you spent a little bit of money using private contractors to fill in potholes. What was the cost-benefit ratio between hiring county employees to fill those potholes and using private contractors?
Typically, using private contractors cost us probably five times what it cost us to do it with our own staff, and so it was pretty ineffective and not cost of, you know, it didn't pencil out. So we basically now are staffing up and buying trucks and other systems for our own staff to do pothole repair.
Joe, do you have a follow-up?
I'm just curious why it costs so much more to hire private contractors. Shouldn't the market decide, you know, that cost price point?
Well, it should, but what happens is the private contractors, they do work in volume, which means we use private contractors when we're repaving a whole road or doing that, but to basically use small quantities of asphalt to specifically repair potholes, it costs a lot more to use private contractors than use the public staff.
All right. Ingrid has called us at 790-2040. Go ahead, Ingrid.
Hi. A few minutes ago, you were talking about your position not being an elected one. Clerk of the board position is an elected one. Do you know why yours is not an elected position?
Okay, I didn't hear some
she
of
the... She was asking about the clerk of the board, the clerk of the board is not an elected official. They are, as the county administrator is, that person is appointed by the board. Correct. The clerk of courts is an elected position.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's take the break here. I'm just going to make an executive decision here. Rather than do the roundtable today, we have so much for Mr. Huckleberry. If he can stay around... We'll keep it going. We've got more questions for him. Joe is in the other studio, and he'll be able to join us as well, Joe Ferguson. So here's what I want to do, Bob. We'll take our mid-show break right here, and then we'll come back with Mr. Huckleberry for a few minutes. Will that be okay? Can you stay
That'd be
around?
Just fine, Bill.
Okay, fine. We'll take the break right here. It's Buckmaster on a Friday. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an Ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back. A very busy Friday on the Buckmaster Show. We have Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry in studio with me. We have Dylan Smith from TucsonSentinel.com, and we were joined just a few moments ago. He was able to get in a question on the other side of the glass, but now he's in studio with us, Joe Ferguson from the Arizona Daily Star. Rick called us, and Rick had a question. He didn't want to stick around. He gave Bob the question. It was about the amount of money you earn, Mr. Huckleberry. Rick says why are you paid $400,000?
Well, I wish I was.
Your annual compensation for
$400,000. It's $288,000, and it's comparable to other managers of county institutions and counties throughout the country. And it is, you know, the compensation that is appropriate. We have 8,000 employees that I manage and a budget of about $1.4 billion.
All right, let's go to Matt, who's been waiting at 790-2040. Go ahead, Matt.
Thank you, Chuck, for staying around to answer all these questions. It's really nice of you. The county has the ongoing suit, I don't know if it's been discussed, with regards to the legislature's imposition of a tax on Southern Arizona property owners regarding the school system for TUSD and I guess other entities of school systems. But it's a complicated issue. What's the status of the suit? Because TUSD's funding is going to be dramatically affected if they don't get the money they need. And what is the status if the county loses their suit? Does that, the longer it goes, are we going to have to pay retroactively?
Okay.
This is the second time the legislature's tried to basically pass off the 1% cap or the desegregation cost onto the taxpayers in the school district. The first time we sued and won, and that effort was abandoned. Legislature has tried it again, and so in this crafting of this legislation, they've made it even more complicated and more incorrect, because they now assume the desegregation tax is a secondary tax, and the Constitution defines what a secondary tax, and it's not desegregation. So they're going to lose that suit as well. The county and the Tucson Unified School District are joining together to file suit against the state to basically invalidate that piece of legislation, which means that the state will again pay the desegregation amount of the 1% excess for TUSD taxpayers.
What about another question that came in with our Facebook friends via Tim Steller's Facebook page and Dylan Smith about annexing the foothills? What can you say about annexing the foothills?
County has always had a neutral position on annexation. It's up to the people who live in the area to be annexed, and therefore I think City of Tucson would like to annex the foothills. They certainly can. They just need 51% of the property owners to agree to it.
How about soccer fields, money for soccer fields?
Part of the complaint, and it's back on the agenda for Tuesday, is the fact that we're spending about $26 million improving and making a regional tournament facilities at the Keno Complex, the Keno Sports Complex on the south. All of that is being financed with car rental taxes and hotel bed taxes. That can't be used for any other purpose.
And yeah, some folks are saying, let's put that toward the roads.
It would be inappropriate and illegal to do so, because both of those tax amounts are specified by statute as to what they have to be used on, and it's the stadium.
All right. Next up, Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com.
Here's one then that came in just now via Facebook from Ike Bickerstaff, and he's saying that politicians love to give voters instant gratification, for example, by filling potholes. Let's instead talk about long-term strategic issues. What is the number one long-term threat and number one strategic opportunity for Pima County, and what are you doing about them?
Good questions.
I think the number one long-term strategic threat is whether or not we have a qualified workforce to sustain our economic development in this community. We've kind of been on a run for the last 3 to 4 years with regard to tax base expansion, and that's in large part due to attracting new companies like Caterpillar and various other ones, including the new Amazon distribution center. Those companies who come here are attracted basic on a number of factors, but one of them is our workforce. We have a qualified workforce that can basically fill their jobs. And one of our threats is if we run out of qualified workforces, our economic development activities are going to stall, which means our tax base will not grow, which means everyone's taxes will go up as opposed to go down if we're able to grow the tax base.
All right. We're juggling questions from Facebook. We're juggling listeners calling in, like Jeff at 790-2040. Let's take Jeff's question now. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, thank you. I have what should be a simple one. Excuse me. The phrase historic gravel pit, I rolled that around my tongue a couple times. I wonder if you could amplify on what exactly would be a historic gravel pit. And then assuming that it is a, in fact, historic gravel pit, why it would be necessary for Pima County to buy that historic gravel pit. And then, furthermore, if it is a historic gravel pit, why would you then fill in that historic gravel pit?
There you go.
The historic gravel pit is basically one that has been excavated 50 years ago and been abandoned since, so therefore it's a hole in the ground that is not actively used. It's adjacent to the Santa Cruz River, and the county has made a position that we acquire all of the major river water courses for control and flood control, groundwater recharge, and other recreational purposes. So that's the purpose for acquiring it. And in reclamation processes, it basically will be what I would call reclaimed as a regional park for the community itself.
It's been there for how long?
It's probably been there 60, 70 years.
Well, anything over 50 years qualifies as historic, I think, when it comes to housing. So maybe we can make it a a historic landmark or something. Anyway, okay, Joe Ferguson, Arizona Daily Star.
Chuck, let's go back to talking about the annexation of the foothills. I get that the county is neutral on this issue, but what many don't understand is that we're leaving money on the table, right? That Maricopa is getting more sales tax revenues back to them because of these unincorporated pockets we have here in Pima County.
In some degree, yes. And so the only thing that counties were left out of the statewide distribution of shared revenues is income taxes. And so what happened is that cities get income tax, shared income taxes from the state, counties do not. And so that means it's population driven. So the common theory is that, well, if we were all to be incorporated, we would get another $30 million or $50 million. And the problem is that when you start sharing among a larger base, shares of other jurisdictions go down. So you never net the, say, $80 million. Maybe you only net about $40 million. And then you have to figure out, okay, can I provide urban services to that population with $40 million? And the answer usually comes back, it's pretty sketchy if you can do that, and it's doubtful. So it's not, you know, you hear that all the time. That's the argument used for annexation. But it's really, you've got to look a lot deeper than the primary distribution.
Facebook question coming in from Doug Martin, the former owner of the station here at KVOI. One of the bright spots, Doug says, is the loop. He was instrumental, meaning you, Mr. Huckleberry, in making that happen. What is the economic impact, or do we even know, of the loop for tourism and people moving here?
The economic impact is, I think we've heard on various occasions that it, for every dollar spent, you basically get $5 or $6 back. And we've had significant input from people who have moved here just because of the loop. We have national and international visitors and teams here training because of our bicycling environment here in Pima County. And more important than that, it's basically amenity for the community and the people who live in this community, and it goes right toward our direction of basically having a healthy community.
Here's Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com.
On that point, that $5 or $6 return, over what sort of time period would that be? Would that be a decade long net? That can't be a yearly figure.
No, it's not. It's basically if you talk about all the money you've spent on it and, you know, what will you return in a reasonable period of time and say 10 years and you know, you can kind of do the math and you see it happen. But I think, you know, while we think it's an economic benefit because basically it's got a lot of people using it and coming here to use it from a tourism perspective, I think the most important benefit is it provides this recreational amenity for the community that basically is safe, and we see significant use. I mean, if you were to count the number of users on the loop, it is the most used regional recreational park in southern Arizona.
It's my understanding about the loop that the genesis of the project was actually just the county having to build roads for flood control access so you could get to these places and make sure that our stream beds weren't filling up with debris and all that. How much extra did we spend over that sort of basic, you know, paving some paths and building a few bridges to turn it into this amenity, as you say?
Yeah. When you look at the bank stabilization and flood control, that usually runs $1 to $2 million a mile. To put in the amenities and the path is probably $100,000. So it's a minor amount. I think more importantly, that the loop, as it started, was a regulatory response to a federal requirement. Section 404 of the Clean Water Act says you can't put in the stabilization unless you build the park.
All right, Mr. Huckleberry, we're going to let you go. Thank you very much. I hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Coming up in a few moments, we'll have an abbreviated session of our Friday Roundtable with Dylan Smith and Joe Ferguson of the Arizona Daily Star. But I want to tell all of our listeners about Mona's Danish Bakery. Now is the time. Put in your order now for Christmas. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, certainly can make sure that your pies are all going to be taken care of for dessert on your Christmas dinner and, of course, all the dinner rolls. MonasDanishBakery.com is their website. I love the Danish Kringle. I prefer the one that has almond. And Steve and his team of bakers there do just such a great job with that. So check it out. If you're out and about right now, they're still open for lunch, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Go to my website, BuckmasterShow.com. There is a link there to Mona's and a link to all of our great sponsors. Plus, we have every podcast, every show archived within like 99% of our shows since January of 2011. Joe Ferguson, Dylan Smith with me for, we'll do about 4 minutes for our abbreviated roundtable today.
We'll talk fast.
Okay. What's going on? Well, this is kind of the first I've heard about. What is this about the Interior Secretary, Mr. Zinke?
Zinke responded to a column by Raul Grijalva in USA Today, and in it he sharply attacked the representative who's likely to chair the House Resources Committee next year and said that both Raul is an alcoholic and should resign immediately.
Wow.
So it's a pretty poignant response. Grijalva has been attacking Zinke for the last year.
Grijalva basically said that Zinke should resign.
Yes.
And then Zinke tweeted that, referencing our congressman, it's hard for him to think straight from the bottom of the bottle.
Gee, that sounds like that's going to be a great relationship.
Yeah, so they're getting things kicked off to a really
good
start here.
Yeah, as they start talking about Interior, right?
And who's going to win in that power struggle, Dylan? You could probably tell me.
Well, the House Natural Resources Committee will have the power to subpoena anything and everything they want from the Interior Department. The Interior Department has no such power over the House Natural Resources Committee. Make of that what you will.
The consultant who handled the McSally campaign, and I think this consultant also did Leah Marquez Peterson, right?
Yeah, right? Axios.
Axios.
Axiom. I can't remember.
Axiom.
They did a post-mortem on that was published in the Washington Post, right?
Yeah.
And about why McSally lost?
Yeah, for an audience of one, I suspect.
So they can continue maybe to keep their reputation up and maybe get some more work.
Well, they lost, I think, just about every prominent race that they were running around the country.
They
got
Ted Cruz.
Hammered over. But they won. They were running Ted Cruz's campaign. But even that was that should have been a cakewalk, and Beto O'Rourke turned that into a real race. But everywhere else, Kansas, I believe, they lost a race in. And for a Republican to lose in Kansas is unheard of.
What's the reason that they gave, the prominent reason? There were a bunch, I guess, but...
Money.
Money?
Money.
She didn't spend enough money?
They didn't spend enough money.
Oh, they didn't spend.
But at the end of the day, they said they were outspent, but they don't look at like the dark money of Defend Arizona kind of people that were really in AZ Santa Grace and really controlled a lot of that messaging.
It was there were some valid points in that memo, I think, things that we've been discussing even before Election Day as far as, you know, McSally's level of name recognition in Maricopa County versus cinemas and things like that. But it was essentially just a CYA effort putting out this memo.
Or it could be a lobbying effort for a appointment to the Senate or later this year.
Joe, do you want to... anything coming up in the Star this weekend you'd like to forward promote?
We're really working hard to find out and give you guys answers about what happened last night in the death of that officer. So I think that a lot of our efforts right now are working on that.
Well, and our condolences certainly to the family and the friends of this U.S. Marshal who was murdered. And Dylan, this goes back to like, you got to go back, I think it's 1952. The last time there was a U.S. Marshal killed in this town. Really horrible.
It's a very dangerous job. Thankfully, this doesn't happen frequently, but I think the U.S. Marshals overall are overlooked when we talk about law enforcement officers who do some very, very dangerous work.
On a completely different subject, but it's important because, Dylan, TucsonSentinel.com survives because people support it monetarily. I mean, they love it, they support it, but monetarily is what is going to keep it going. And you had that Giving Tuesday on Tuesday.
Exactly, and thanks for bringing that up. And I neglected to thank Chuck Huckleberry on air. He is amongst our many supporters on both sides of the political aisle.
Is it too late to give?
No. We have a matching program that runs through the end of the month. You can give right up until the evening of December 31st. Of course, we hope you give sooner so we can better plan how we're going. But we have there's a national campaign going on to support nonprofit news sites like TucsonSentinel.com. It's called Newsmatch, supported by the Knight Foundation and Democracy Fund and a bunch of other major foundations. And they match dollar for dollar every donation from an individual to us up to $1,000 a piece through the end of the year. And that's a really important effort for us. And thank you very much for bringing it up.
TucsonSentinel.com. You can find out more information. Joe Ferguson will look for your work in the Arizona Daily Star. Gentlemen, good session today. I appreciate your input very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell is coming up after the break. Still to come. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Stir It Up, a little reggae music, our new intro to Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's only a three-hour drive over to Silver City, and lots of folks have time off over the holidays. I strongly suggest a visit over there to historic Silver City. So many people, Dylan Smith is with me in studio. Dylan, so many people who've grown up in Tucson, they've never been to Silver City.
You know, I haven't been there myself. My dad, my dad used to go over there all the time and spend a weekend, and really, really loved it. And something I need to, make a weekend
list?
Out of it. Yeah,
there you go.
I don't even bucket list, but just actually get to it list.
There you go. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for a complete listing of the many places to stay and several dozen recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Let's welcome now Inside Tucson business food and beverage columnist, award-winning Tucson publicist, Mr. Matt Russell. How are you, sir?
Oh, just a little thirsty. It's Friday. It's Friday afternoon. I want to start happy hour now, but I have certain obligations, so let's carry on quickly.
But you know what they say. It's happy hour somewhere in the world.
Absolutely.
All right. Miracle on Congress coming up.
Yeah, one of downtown's most festive holiday traditions. It's underway in the form of a pop-up, and it's at 300 East Congress Street, Miracle on Congress. And when you slay your way over there, you're going to find a beautifully decorated space, more than 15 holiday inspired cocktails to whet your winter wonderland whistles, like hot buttered rum and a spiked cherry cider and more. And every weekend they're going to be choosing a different charity that will benefit from the event. Miracle on Congress is every Thursday through Sunday evening through the holidays on the corner of Fifth Avenue and Congress Street.
What about Hamilton Distillers?
Well, tomorrow, Bill, is a big day for single malt whiskey enthusiasts like Dylan Smith.
I was waiting for that.
Hamilton Distillers, makers of Tucson's Whiskey Del Bac.
This is on my calendar.
They're unveiling their annual winter release whiskey, a limited edition project in their portfolio that always draws a ton of traffic. Now, they mix up their mash every year, and if this one is anything like last year's winter release, it promises to be one of the finest whiskeys to ever grace our community. They've only made 1,000 bottles, so they're going to sell out fast. Doors open to the public tomorrow at 10 a.m. at the distillery, 2106 Forbes Boulevard. So good luck, and certainly don't let Dylan cut in line, for crying out loud.
Well, there's a limit to, I think, 12 bottles per person, so there'll be some left.
Take a baker's dozen home with you. And, of course, how about a tamale festival? It's that time of year.
Yeah, nothing says the holidays like the tamale, and, of course, it's tasty tradition on the table. So what better time to unwrap the goodness than at the 14th annual Tucson Tamale and Heritage Festival tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Casino del Sol's Ava Amphitheater. There's going to be more tamale vendors than you can count, live local music, a tamale contest, of course, tacos, burritos, and other regional fare. Local artisans are going to be featuring artwork and jewelry and other gift ideas for your holiday shopping. This is always a ton of family fun, guys. Make sure the Tamale and Heritage Festival is part of your weekend plan.
How about Inside Tucson Business, your column?
Yeah, so Bill, we've been hearing about it a while on your show. We are less than a year out from our big food and beverage cruise to Italy, Malta, and Greece.
Wow.
So I recently sat down with some local experts for their advice on kind of the best ways to prepare my palate for the trip. If you're curious what the locals eat and drink over there, you can read the entire story.
And my friend,
edition of Inside Tucson Business.
Sorry to interrupt you. My friends over at Bon Voyage Travel are handling the arrangements for that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Would not work with any other travel advisor in the world. Bon Voyage has thought of everything. It is going to be a deep immersion into the food and beverage of the old world. I am so excited.
Matt, have a great weekend. We appreciate it.
Cheers, guys. Thanks.
Thanks a lot. Matt Russell with our Weekend Watch. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, which is wholly responsible for the content of our program. Original theme music composed by our German friend, Christophan, from Munich, Germany. Thanks to my assistant, Rosemary Brandt, everyone here at KVOI, including my engineer and producer, Bob Dio, the entire team at Bustos Media, including production manager, Jerry Cross, operations manager, Ray Allen, Alicia and Elsa in the front office. Dylan Smith, thank you, Dylan, for your help today.
You bet.
All of us wish you a safe and sound great weekend.